In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Thank you because you are God. Thank you because you are here tonight. We ask that no person will leave here the same way they came. We worship you for the fire burning with the fire of God that we have just heard about. Help us to burn with your fire. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. Hallelujah. I appreciate God for his mercies. And I believe that we are in a destiny changing and destiny molding conference. Tonight, I want to quickly speak on the subject, reigning as king in youth, secrets from the life of Joseph. Secrets from the life of Joseph. This may be part one. Yesterday, we saw that there was no age limit to impact and to influence in life. We said that the future begins today, it shouldn't be deferred to tomorrow. We said that youthfulness should not translate into uselessness, and so forth and so on. Our objective tonight is to understand the secrets of reigning as a king in youth from the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, I'll read from verse 3 all the way to verse 9. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. 10. And he told it his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Now Joseph was a young man with both an exciting and a challenging childhood. He reigned as king in youth against all odds. Question is, what are some of the secrets of Joseph that made him to reign as king? What admonitions can we give ourselves to make us to take the place that God has for us in the land of the living from the life of Joseph. Admonition number one. Never allow anyone to stop or kill your dreams. Never allow anyone to stop or kill your dreams. First and foremost, it is important to be a person of dreams and visions. Dreams and visions of the future. Because the dreams of today, let me say it like this, identify four or five things about dreams and visions. First, the dreams of today are the realities of tomorrow. Second, to be dreamless is to be doomed. The dreams of today are the realities of tomorrow. To be dreamless is to be doomed. Third, vision is the way into the future. Vision is the way into the future. Vision is vehicle into the future. Fourth, to be without a dream or to be without a vision is to be without a future. Hallelujah. Joseph dreamt dreams. Is the dream that he had, he shared. And that is one thing we must be very careful about. Because he was sharing with the people and telling them, you know what, I dreamt and all of you were bowing for me. That is, that the wisdom there wasn't so much. Anybody will be aggravated. Anybody will be irritated. Anybody will be challenged. You mean we are going to be bowing for you? Is that what you say you saw? Not everybody is qualified to receive the sharing of your dreams. And there are dreams and visions that must be allowed to incubate, because the Bible said the vision is for an appointed time. Hallelujah. But he shared it. The dream scared his brethren. The dream intimidated his brethren. The dream undermined, in their eyes, it undermined them. And they hated him. They wanted him to stop dreaming. They wanted him to stop having visions. They wanted him to stop dreaming. They wanted him to stop having visions. What was his response to their attempt to stop him from dreaming? To stop him from having visions. He dreamed a bigger dream. Hello? There are many of us who stopped thinking big, stopped dreaming big, stopped seeing big, because some people felt unstable. It scattered their comfort zone and were stopped. But when Joseph was confronted with the choice of stopping, instead of stopping, he dreamed something bigger. That was what happened in Acts of the Apostles. When the apostles made the crippled man to walk, and it spread, the whole thing spread in Jerusalem. Sir Henry the Pharisee said, how do we straightly charge these people? You media, just locate those scriptures for me. He said, let us call them and straightly charge these people that they speak no more in this name. The command is, speak no more in this name. And their response was, we cannot. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. That was the command. Don't speak anymore in this name. What was their reaction? We cannot but speak the things we have heard and the things we have seen. You said, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you are filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And they said, we cannot. Are we to obey man or God? You should judge whether you are. We ought to obey God rather than man. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen or heard. We can't help it. I can't help it. We can't help it. Except we didn't hear something. Except we didn't see something. Except we didn't experience something. Except I am not convinced about my vision or my dreams. I can't help it. We have heard something. We have seen something. We must speak. Don't speak in this name. Instruction. Reaction. We cannot but speak. And then manifestation. They speak boldly in verse 31. And they, from verse 31 all the way to verse 33, they, with boldness, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They said they should not speak. They said they would speak. Not only did they speak, it's possible to speak timidly, but they spoke. Somebody say louder. Raise them. Woo! If the devil says you should not speak, what do? Loud them. Raise them. If they say you should not dream, what do? If they said you should not go to church, what do? Go. If they say you should not preach in the bus, what do? Preach. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the Lord must amen. Somebody shout the Lord must amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. The dreams of today are the realities of tomorrow. About 34 years ago, stepping out of the university at that junction, we wrote our yearbook, our medical class of the early 90s. We wrote our yearbook, and I put a vision there. And that my mission on earth is to go around the earth with the tangible demonstration of the power of God. That was 30-something years ago. I wish that we have the clip of that yearbook. We have shown it twice or so, a picture of it. And where it is written. What is your vision? What is your mission? What is your desire? I didn't say I was going to be a neurosurgeon or cardiothoracic surgeon. I knew where I was going with my life. And as at this year alone, we have done 41 crusades already. There are some we have not counted yet. Maybe you have the clip of that one. That was something that was stated 30-something years ago. Visions of 30-something years ago. Dreams of 30-something years ago. That was Panama, the first one, and then Ankpa in Nigeria, Boku, Makurdi, and then you have Benue State University. Anyone from Benue State University here? That's right. And then we are from New Kuching, Goro, Guaguatesha, Pagadian in the Philippines. And then you go all the way to Bicolandia, Philippines, Manila, Philippines, Bayelsa, Onitsha, Senegal, and that was Onitsha, Benin, Uniben. Anybody from Uniben here? That's right. Uniben, and then we have the Mangaza, and then Aba, in Abia State, Umaya, Michael Opara University. Anyone from there here? Newcastle, UK, Maraba, Nigeria, Buduwi, we have Okene in Ibiraland, Jalingo, Taraba State University. Anyone from there here? And then you in Nigeria, Managua in Nicaragua, Central America, Dwari, Douala, Cameroon, Jahi FCT, Gosa, La Guaira in Venezuela, Basa FCT, Nigeria, Idosarki, Resistencia, Argentina, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Ontario, Canada, Oradea in Romania, Paris, France, Berlin, Germany, Riga, Latvia, and then Lube here. 41. How many of you heard some of the names for the first time? Are you following what I'm saying here today? That was vision that happened 30 something years ago, becoming a reality, going all over the world. Is God speaking to someone here at all? Don't let anybody stop you from dreaming. Keep going. Don't let anybody stop your dreaming. Don't let anybody stop your vision. Don't let anybody stop your dreaming. Don't let anybody stop your vision. Don't let anybody stop your vision. Don't let anybody stop your dreaming. Don't let anybody stop your vision. You can stop there. We'll continue from there shortly. Hallelujah. There may be times where hatred would like to stop your dreaming. Times where mockery. Times where opposition. Where people will make light and jest about your vision. I remember in my university in those days, one of the young guys who were around me at one time, I was trying to sing and worship. He said, "Don't ever sing at all. Don't sing at all. Your voice is so bad." I was not singing on stage. I was worshiping by myself. Another person said that also. A church elderly woman. Some of these people are agents of the devil. Satan sent them to stop the potential you carry. I hadn't sung, I hadn't played one instrument, just worshiping. If I listen to those voices of mockery, if I listen to those voices of opposition, you are the reason why I live, I move, and I might be, you would never have heard it. It was released over a month ago. It has 5 million views as of today. You would never have heard it. That one should be over 13 million views now. You would never have heard of it. Don't let anybody. Some of you would never have heard of Bishop David Oyedepo because someone told him he was not called. The way you share your vision with an elderly man of God or an elderly person that you think is ahead of you, and the person says, "Oh no, forget about it. You don't have a calling. You don't have any calling. You are not called." If God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo is not called, who was called? The man that has routed this generation. Everywhere I've gone around the world to preach, they know him. Everybody know him. They know him. They know us with him. But somebody that he was so irrespected then had told him to discard his vision. Let me say this as I go to the next point. When Joseph's brethren saw him, the Bible said, Genesis 37, verse 23, they took his coat. Came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat and his coat of many colors that was on him. Let me say this to you. They took his coat, but they never took his dreams. They can take your coat, they can take your money, they can take your dress, they can take your vehicle, they can take anything from you, but if they cannot take your vision, they cannot take your future. If the devil cannot take your vision, they cannot take your future. If they can't take your dreams, they cannot take your future. It doesn't matter what they took from you. It doesn't matter what they removed from you. Just protect your vision. Protect your vision. Protect your dream. Protect your vision in God. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For as he thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. Shall the Lord say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it doesn't matter what they took from you. If they have not taken your vision, they have not touched your future. Tell somebody and say, it doesn't matter what they try to take from you. If they have not taken your vision, they have not taken your future. Shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Number two. First, never allow anyone stop or kill your dreams. Number two. Maintain. Determine to maintain a positive attitude in all situations. Determined to maintain a positive attitude in all situations. So many bad things happened to Joseph that was enough to make him a shadow of a human being. It was enough to make him a shadow of a human being. But the attitude of Joseph remained positive. He remained positive in mental attitude. So positive that he was encouraging prisoners. Encouraging, don't be sad, don't be downcast. You saw a dream. Tell me, interpretations belong to God. Please note the following. One. When life happens to you, never allow it to happen in you. When life happens to you, never allow it happen in you. That leads me to the next thing I will say. Why did I say so? Second, it's because what happens to you does not determine your future. But what happens in you determines your future. What happens in you, what is happening around you, is not the determinant of your destiny, of what you can be in life or be in God. It is what is happening in you that is determining what you can be in life or where you will reach in life. That is why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When life happens to you, like it happened to Joseph, from his father's house to slavery to Potiphar's wife to every single thing to prison, never allow it happen in you, because what happens to you does not determine your destiny. It does not stop your destiny. All those things that happened to Joseph did not stop him. They did not stop his destiny. But what happens in you, it's what determines your future. Number three, allow the things that happen to you to make you better, not bitter. It is possible to become bitter because of what happened to you, or to become better because of what happened to you. It's possible to become bitter by what happened to you, or become better by what happened to you. You can be bitter, you can be better. It's a matter of choice. Have I told you the story of Wesley and Leslie before? I don't know if I've told you the story of Wesley and Leslie before. A woman by the name Mammy Brown was passing by and somewhere in America. This woman was about the age of 60 then. Had never had a child or married or anything like that. And so she was passing and she heard the cry of two babies. And she went into an uncompleted building and found inside this carton two babies, twins, abandoned by the mother. In America, you know the way we find twins, we find children inside cartons, just abandoned somewhere, dustbin or something. That was how this was in America. This woman carried the two, the babies, and raised them as her own. She called one Wesley and called the other Leslie, twin, and named and gave her their surname, gave them her own surname, Brown. So Leslie Brown, Wesley Brown. They grew differently. The circumstances that happened to them made them two different people. Whereas Wesley became a drunkard. Terrible, I mean, just wayward life and drunkenness life, and amounted to nothing. Maybe he felt like, why should life happen to me? Why should my own mother who gave birth to me abandon me? Why shouldn't I know my biological father? Why shouldn't I know my biological mother? And because of that, he became a drunkard. And he looked to me like Leslie, Les, made the opposite decision. If somebody say, she does not need me and left me in a carton, I must prove to the world that I am valuable. Les Brown became a speaker, a motivational speaker, a Christian man. That's him there. Impacted and is impacting his world. A counselor to presidents of America and a counselor to diverse people. You cannot mention him in the cycles where you mention big speakers without mentioning his name. They all grew up together. One became better based on what happened to him. Another one became bitter. It's a matter of choice. Am I speaking to anybody at all? Our problem is not what we are passing through. Our problem is what is passing through us. To our generation. You can put it at the fourth point, D. The major problem is not what you are passing through or what you have passed through. The major issue is what is passing through you to your generation. The major issue is not what you are passing through. The major issue is what is passing through you to your generation. Have you noted that as a fourth point? The major issue is not what you have passed through. The major issue is what is passing through you. The fifth thing I want you to know. So A, B, C, 2, A, B, C, D, E. That great destinies attract great battles. Show me Abraham and you should see the battles of Abraham's life. 25 years without a child. Look at Joseph. See the battles of Joseph's life. Look at David. Father and mother forgot him and forsook him. Look at Queen Esther. Orphan and slave at the same time. Look at Daniel. Eunuch, castrated. Slave, castrated. Can't have a child. Can't have a wife. Great destinies attract great battles. So it is natural for you to grow and come up in the in battles. But you must make up your mind Never to allow the bitterness, depression, frustration, and anger from your situation to ruin your destiny. Say that again. Never allow bitterness. Never allow depression. Never allow the frustration or anger from the circumstances of your life to destroy your destiny. And I'm talking to someone here today. Maybe it's about how you were born. Your mother and your father did not get married, and they gave birth to you. That is not a problem. It is a fact that your mother and your father did not marry each other and you were born. It's not a problem. It is a fact. A problem is what you can solve. You can't solve that one. A fact is what to accept. Am I communicating? And proceed to make the most of your life. Maybe it is your father's attitude to you. He treats you like you are in nothing. Maybe your father was absent from your life. Maybe it's your mother. I've seen a young lady before who said that if not that the record shows that this person is her biological mother, she would have doubted it. That this kind of wicked person, wicked to her, couldn't have been her mother. Maybe the attitude of your extended family. Maybe childhood abuse, whether verbal abuse, immoral, whatever. Childhood abuse. They have entered you to the point where they have hurt you so badly. And they have denatured you. Did you hear what I just said? They denatured you. They changed who you are meant to be. But let me say the 16. Allow the things that hurt you to instruct you, not destroy you. Allow the things that hurt you to instruct you and not destroy you. Allow the things that hurt you to destroy you. Allow the things that hurt you to instruct you and not destroy you. That was one thing Abraham Lincoln said. He said, things that hurt, instruct. Let life's situations form life's decisions. Let the situations of your life form the decisions of your life. The situations of your life form the decisions of your life. That was what formed my own life decision, family-wise and marital-wise. I grew up in a family where many polygamous family setting, which of course, by all standards, is not normal, spiritually and otherwise. Things I saw, as a child, in a polygamous home that I don't wish my children to see, and things my mother saw that I don't wish my wife to see. So it formed my life's decision. I'm going to have a marriage where my wife will experience what it means to be a wife and what it means to be loved. When my children will experience what it means to be loved. So I pour my love. I pour my love and affection to wife, to children. If you ask any of them, they will tell you the best person they want to be around is their father. Any of them. Under any circumstance. Let the things that hurt you instruct you. Let it form the decisions of your life. Let it make you a better person. If your father was not a good man, be the man you wanted your father to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? If your father was not such a standard man or a standard father or a standard husband, be the husband you had wished your father to be. Be the father you had wished your father to be to your children. Be the wife you had wished your mother should have been to your father. Be the kind of mother you have wished your mother was to you. Be that mother to your children. And then you will come to the point where you will raise a generation of people who will benefit positively from your negative past. You ain't saying nothing. You will raise a generation of people. You will raise children. You will raise a community of people that will benefit positively to your negative past. So your disadvantage became advantageous. So the only person that lost was the devil. The only person that lost was the devil. You are not a loser because you decided not to be bitter. You decided to be instructed. You decided to be better. Your children are not a loser. You see, the worst thing that can happen to you is when you repeated exactly what pained you as a child. When you begin to reproduce exactly the behavior that you hated. When you begin to reproduce exactly what you complained about. I saw a medical doctor while I was growing up, one of the young men that I was looking up to, like a role model, like a mentor, you know. I was a medical student, he was already a medical doctor. I liked him so much because the man can, he can just arrange you to a bedroom somewhere and just remove a hernia right there. It was just easily, he was just, and he wasn't even a specialist yet. He was so skilled, all right? But he was very angry that his father figure, like his most senior brother who passed him through university, his father figure. He said, how can an educated man be a polygamist? He pained him. What is wrong with this man? And then that educated man, who was a polygamist, was also a drunkard. He was also drinking. He angered him. Only for years later, I saw this same man. I was in shock. He was talking to me and dancing like a drunkard. He said, so when did you come? I was talking to somebody and the person was not. He didn't even know who I was, maybe. By the time we're talking, I think he had children from about 4 or 5 wives. Already, the same thing that pained him as a young man, the same thing he complained about, the same thing that infuriated him, is reproducing it because the heart did not instruct him. He did not make decisions from his frustration. He only complained about it. And I am talking to us young men because this is the age in which a lot of things pain us. Am I communicating? This is the age in which a lot of things pain you. How your father is behaving. How your mother is reacting. How you went to school and they didn't care for you. How a lot of things. How you were born and all of that. This is the age in which so many things are bottled in your heart and they are paining you. But this is the age to make decisions with those issues that are bothering you. This is the age also to determine that you are going to be a sweet person irrespective of what life is trying to do to you. Let me round off on this point with a final point. Take your seat. What was the last point I said? Let the things that instruct you, that hurt you, instruct and not destroy you. Let your life's situations form your life's decisions. And then the final thing, what was the number we are in? Two what? Alright. Two what? Two E or two F or two G. Alright. The final thing that I will say, two G now. Don't let the people who encounter you become victims of your past hurt. Let the people who encounter you in the present not become victims of your past hurt. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let the fountain of your life, the fountain flowing out, be sweet, not bitter. There are many people, what you pass through changed who you are meant to be. You were denatured. You were denatured. How many biochemistry students are here? You know what we call the denaturation of protein? Denaturation. You know that when you see the egg, the outside of the egg is colorless. The egg white is colorless. The inside is yellow, but the egg white is colorless. When you cook it, what color does it become? It becomes white. The egg, is a protein. When you heat it, there is a reconfiguration of the molecular structure that changes it to another kind of protein that is white. You denatured it by heat. Many of you, your life is meant to be sweet. When people see you, oh, how are you doing? Nice life. Oh, fine. Great. Smiley, cheerful, chatty. Excited, exuberant personality is who you are. But when life happened, your smile disappeared. And you became more like a shadow of a person. Your greeting just, oh, bless you. The worst of it is when people encountering you are suffering from what you passed through. Practical example. Young man, he said, young lady, how are you? He said, yes, I'm fine. He said, all men are evil. That is what is in her heart. All men are evil. This is an evil man. That's what is in her heart. Her father maltreated her mother. Her father didn't care for the children. Her father abandoned her. I met a young lady some time back. And the father and the mother gave birth to her out of wedlock. And the father doesn't care. Left the mother to raise her from primary school all the way to university level. And then by the time I met both of them, and she said she doesn't care for men at all. In fact, she's not even thinking of marrying. Because men are devils. He said, whatever brought her into the world is a product of whatever the mother and the father did. Then why should the father back off and leave the mother to face it? It's like, did mother impregnate herself? If you are involved with a woman and she gave birth to a child, why should you back off and leave the child to die? She said, men are wicked. See, men are monsters. They just use you, take advantage of you, and let you to face the consequence. So this young lady, that kind of young lady is moving about. Every man is a suspect, including the good man that should have married her, is a suspect. It is good to be cautious because of what your mother or anybody else passed through in history. It's good to exercise caution. But when that caution enters the realm of suspicion, everybody is a potential disastrous man. Everybody is a potential monstrous man. Then what you pass through has started destroying your future. It has started destroying your future. Then the kind of person that you should have loved, that should have loved you and married you so that God can use him to wipe out the memory of your past, to wipe out the memory of what you passed through, that kind of person cannot near you because there is a and you love people. Or what it is caused in confidence, other people heard it. What was between you and it went out. You are a nice person, cheerful person. All of a sudden, you lost your cheerfulness. I won't give any other person another opportunity to stab me at the back. And then you just left into bitterness. These are the things that destroy destiny. You begin to function with a transfer of aggression, transfer of hurt, transfer of frustration. What frustration this person gave you, you pour it on the other person who is innocent, who didn't do you anything. He has not offended you yet. But I bind that devil. Because tonight I believe deliverance is happening. No devil will destroy your neatness. No devil will destroy your sweetness. No devil will destroy your nature. No devil will destroy your personality. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loud most amen. Say in the name of Jesus, I decide that life may happen around, but cannot happen within me. I refuse to be denatured by the negativities of life in the name of Jesus. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Very soon I'll give an altar call for anybody who has passed through such a level of heart that has almost changed who you are, and you want God to help you back. I have passed through many things in life. And every pastor will pass through things that will make you not want to pray for another person. That will make you not want to be merciful to any other person. That will want to not make to love any other person. Right? But you realize that God sent you on assignment. And your assignment is unto God. And that no matter how terrible upper treated you, there is a root who will abide with you, who will say, where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will bury. That nothing will separate. So you realize that no matter how terrible Judas Iscariot is, who betrayed you, there is a John the Beloved who will follow you to the foot of the cross. He will follow you to the crucifixion. He will remain there. If they want to arrest me, let them arrest me. I am following this man to the very final point. There are people like that. And if you want to treat everybody as if they are Judas, then you will lose John. You want to treat everybody as if they are upper, then you will lose Ruth. You want to treat everybody as if they are Absalom, then you will lose your faithful children. So your heart remains enlarged. So you must make up your mind that through the life situations, if you are going to realize and fulfill your destiny in God, you must decide that if life happens to you, it will not happen in you. That you are going to maintain your sweetness. You are going to maintain your neatness of spirit, irrespective of what the devil is trying to throw at you. Take your seat. Let me go to point number three. I have 5 points, but from what I see, I might be able to share 3 or at the most 4, and then we'll continue the rest in the next session. Number three, no matter what you lose in life, never lose the presence of God. And the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39 verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39 verse 21. No matter what you lose in life, never lose the presence of God. Because the presence of God remains our greatest asset. What had Joseph lost? Joseph lost family. His brother hated him, but at least he had a junior brother that was Benjamin. His mother was dead. He had his brother Benjamin, he had his father. One day, he lost family. Father, no more in his life. Junior brother, no more in his life. Joseph lost friends. Anybody who was his friend in the neighborhood, they will never see him again for life. Joseph lost freedom. He was a free man, but now he's in chains. Do you know what they call slavery? Forever. He was a free man. is now a bondman. Joseph lost identity. A slave is a property. It's not a person in those days. He lost identity. Everything was lost. The only thing that Joseph did not lose was his relationship with God. Preaching, make it. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do here. And see, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel to them. But look at this sad statement, and blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. What is the meaning of that? John, you are offended. The same John who introduced Jesus Christ to the world who said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And people ask him, how did you know? He is the Lamb
planted on the
head of Jesus.
The Lamb of
God.
It
connected presence, because the presence of God is the preservation of your life and your destiny. It doesn't matter what you have lost. It doesn't matter what is not working. If you have not lost the presence of God, you have not lost your destiny. You have not lost your future. Lift your hands and say, oh Lord, I shall not lose your presence. Job refused to lose God. It happened to Job, but look at what Job said
in Job 27, verse 1,
all the way to verse 6. Moreover, Job continued in his parable and said, as God liveth, who has taken away my judgment, even though he was thinking God was dealing with him, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul, even if God deal with me, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lip will not speak wickedness. My tongue will not utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. I won't become a sinner because things are not going well. My righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. And my heart shall not reproach me for as long as I live. My integrity, I will not take from me. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change come. He said, even if he slay me, yet I will follow him. It doesn't matter what happened. I'm not going to disconnect from God. Is there somebody here who is going to say that tonight? I am not going to disconnect from God. I am not going to disconnect. That's Job 13 and in verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if it is God himself that is killing me, I will still follow him. John the Baptist was beheaded. Did Job die in his affliction? John the Baptist died in prison, was the cut of his head. Job came out of his affliction because the presence of God remained with him. I said the presence of God is the preservation of your life and destiny. Fourthly, your relationship with God is key to your results in life. Your relationship with God is key to your results in life. Your relationship with God is key to your results in life. That was the life of Joseph. And number five, your roots in God determine your fruit in life. Your root in God determine your fruit in life. Your root in God determine your fruit in life. Isaiah 27 verse 6, it shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Thresh shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Somebody say a loud amen. What have I said so far? Never allow anyone stop or kill your dreams. Number two, determine to maintain a positive attitude in all situations. Number three, no matter what you lose in life, never lose the presence of God. You see, anybody can be confronted and anybody can be challenged. Even our master Jesus, Satan took him and tempted him. So don't think that you are too big. In my own journey of life, I came to the Lord at first in 1979. And then, the way youthfulness is, here and there, 86, I rededicated my life to Jesus. After about 1 year, I had a very terrible confrontation to my faith. A man that was so interested in my life, in my life's journey of becoming a medical doctor and journey of everything, suddenly was killed brutally. I heard the news. 1,000 questions entered my head. Where was God? What happened? How did this happen? I began to stray. Just stray. The kind of stray where you're not praying anymore, you're not. Just began to stray. And then one young man who was my friend then, he came to me and he said, What are we here? We are hearing that you are trying to backslide. He was an unbeliever, drinker, chaser. We are hearing that you want to backslide. Say, don't dare it. Unbeliever preaching to me. Don't dare it. We want to be like you. Don't return back to be like us. Don't come back to the world. We are trying to be like you. It fired, it inflamed my mind. That one encounter. And then my niece, my sister's daughter, then saw a dream in Revelation the night, about the same time. Say, Uncle, I saw devil. He was pointing at you, saying he's going to deal with you or something. I said, devil, say he will deal with me. I am the one to deal with him. So I made a U-turn. Full swing back to God. Devil, I am the one to deal with you. So the devil caused that situation and was trying to stray me away from God, and the young girl saw the revelation that the devil said he wants to deal with you. Say he saw devil. Young girl of about 12 or 13 years at that time. He saw devil. Say he wants to deal with you. Then I realized, devil killed the person. Devil is disconnecting me from God. I am the one to deal with that devil. That is like 40 years ago, right? 39 years. The devil has not recovered yet. I will never recover till we leave this world. He will be at the permanent receiving end of the heat. And in the name of Jesus, everything that is trying to temper with your relationship with God, I declare it is arrested. In the name of Jesus, it is arrested. You are saying amen. Shout the loudest amen. Take your seat. I thought that yesterday was like the opening and the close of the convention. Today is another opening and close. How many of you can confirm that? Let me say point number four, then we'll continue tomorrow. Genesis 9 and in verse 4, 5, 6. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what to eat. He didn't know even what he had except the bread he would eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and wealthy one. That is, Potiphar was at rest because Joseph was in charge. Am I communicating? If you are going to reign and realize what God has ordained for you in this life, number four, be a source of rest to your generation. Rest. Give rest to your generation. Give rest to your generation. And when I say your generation, I mean everyone. Be a source of rest. Place the scripture there if possible. Be a source of rest to your generation. A source of rest, like they call Barnabas, a son of consolation. That's okay. I say you should write the scripture under the heading. A son of consolation to your generation. Am I communicating at all? Let me just take it further now. If you look at the whole life of Joseph, let me start from his father. Joseph was a rest. Genesis 37 verse 2. See what the Bible said? These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report, meaning that he had no evil report in front of his father. Look at verse 3. And now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him the coat of many colors. Now, later on, he sent Joseph to take food to his brethren. Rest. There are children that give sleepless nights to parents. I'm going to come to that. But this one, rest. If you are such a child, you need to go and ask your mother and father for forgiveness. I'm sorry for being a trouble to you at any time in my life. Joseph was rest to Potiphar. The Bible said, with Joseph in charge, Potiphar can go to sleep. When last was your boss at rest because you are in charge? Alright, thirdly, Joseph gave rest to the captain of the guard, the head of the prison. Genesis 39:21, all the way to 23. Place it on the screen. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison did not look to anything that was under Joseph's hand. He didn't need to bother whether things were going well or bad, because they would go well, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made him to prosper. He gave his father rest. He gave Potiphar, an officer, rest. He gave the institution of the prison rest. Then he gave the nation of Egypt rest. Genesis 41 verse. Genesis 41 verse 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. I am not going to bother with Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot with the heart. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him a ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph said unto Joseph, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. Youth, let me ask you, are you a source of rest or a source of stress? Are you a source of rest or a source of concern to your family? And I want to address rest in two ways. Number one, rest in accountability. Joseph gave rest in accountability and financial integrity. You could not give money to Joseph and have a concern as to how the what will happen. One cent he will not miss. You can't. You can't. Rest in accountability. I knew a person that was given $150,000 for a specific project that was estimated to cost in that range. $150,000. How much is it in Naira? Anybody knows? 200 and something million. Million Naira. This man, in the course of executing the project, realized that the project was not going to cost up to a man that I know. This is not hypothetical. A man that I know, in the course of executing the agenda, realized that this, for many reasons, this project was not going to cost that amount. And he only used $58,000. Retired the account and returned $92,000. The superior who assigned for this project said, this is a rare kind of accountability. He said, where we are, this kind of thing does not exist. It is more like meat that enter lion's den. And he said, anything you need to do, let me know. I believe in you and I believe in it. Anything. When last did somebody rest with, because he gave you finances? Then the second part that I close there is rest in character. How restful is your generation? Restful is your family because of your character. I'd like you to take note of two or three things, and I'll end there. Note one. every point in time, you are either a blessing or a burden. To your father, to your mother, to your family, to your generation, you are either a blessing or a burden. 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 You are either a blessing or a burden. A blessing or a burden. And second, at every point in time, you are either an asset or a concern. An asset or a concern. You are either an asset or a concern. And thirdly, you are either, now I'm talking to youth in the house, you are either enhancing your family's value or destroying your family's value by your life. Enhancing the value or destroying the value. As a drug addict, as a hemp smoker, as a call girl, as a prostitute, as an examination fraud, are you a source of rest? Are you a source of rest? Your mother and your father, are they at peace with you? Are they rest? Do they have rest of mind because of you? Are you the kind of child they have to check on all the time? Are you okay? Are you well? Has he slipped back again into drinking? Am I speaking to anybody at all? No destiny happens by chance. The rest you give to your generation today determines your result tomorrow. It doesn't happen by chance. And I want you to live here today. Go and give your generation rest. Give your father. Your father deserves rest. Your mother deserves rest. Your family deserves rest. Don't give them hypertension with your life. Don't give them agitation with your life. And there are families where there's something they call black sheep of family. Some families have it, some don't have. But there's one who is a bad, who is just always like the sheep that must miss road. If you are in a family where there is one such person, don't be attracted to what is making somebody give pressure to a family. Don't be attracted. If you are in a family where, God forbid, everybody wants to miss road, determined to be the blessing to your mother, a blessing to your father. Both my parents are now with the Lord. My father, though very massively wealthy and so on at that time, he had a lot of temperament. And at times, he will overflow in his temper. Some children are tempted to exchange words. But in an attempt not to exchange word once, by my second year in university, I just faced school. I returned back only after graduation to show my certificate. I don't want anything that will make me reply you. I was going to visit home, and my mother told someone, he said, he is coming. Somebody said, are you sure he is coming? He said, go and sleep. If he says he is coming, just go and sleep. He is coming. That is, his word is his bond. By the time I arrived, he said, didn't I tell you? I said, he is coming. Not speaking to brag, but the blessing of father and mother, the restfulness that they have regarding your life can bless your destiny. Honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the earth. Make your father proud. Make your mother proud. Make your generation proud. Be a source of good report, not evil report. Don't enjoy being a concern. Stand up on your feet. Don't enjoy it. I came to the room. Am I smelling smoke? Have you smoked again? What am I smelling? Is this, I can smell smoke in the air. Oh, I didn't smoke again. And they know you are lying. You are coming, you are hiding something. Did you just finish watching pornography? Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever you do, be a man of rest. A man, a woman of rest. Grant, give rest. Mommy, go and sleep. I'm okay. Daddy, just relax. You won't hear any evil report. Don't worry about me joining bad groups. That will never happen. I grew up and I knew of people. The mother and the father say, don't go on this journey. They have already gone. That is father and mother. Don't go on this journey. They already, they return to apologize. Sorry. I had to go for that trip. I know two people around my growing up region and where I am that mother say don't go. Whether it is Lagos or Kad, anywhere, he has gone. She has gone. And has returned. I'm sorry, I had to go. Those lives didn't amount to much. Some cut off before their time. Am I communicating? Be a child of rest. If you live here, some of us, you will need to go and tell your mother, I am sorry for giving you stress. Tell your father, I am sorry for putting you under pressure, for being a burden, for always doing the things you don't want. I am very, very sorry. Just pray for me to do the right thing and bless me. Bless me. Let that blessing be at your back. And you will be shocked where it will take you. Bring rest to your earthly father, earthly mother, spiritual father, spiritual family. Rest to your generation. Rest to your organization. Where you walk, be a source of rest. That was how Joseph was, and his life and his destiny saw the light of day. I wish that all the youth in our generation are hearing this message right now. And I want you to share this message with your friends and let them know that there is a way to fulfill destiny. And that way is number one. Can we go through it? The Joseph way. Never allow. Everybody read it together. Want to go. Never allow anyone to stop or kill your dreams. Number two. Determine to maintain a positive attitude in all situations. Number three. No matter what you lose in life, never lose the presence of God, because the presence of God remains our greatest asset. Number four, be a source of rest to your generation. One of our pastors told somebody, he said, I have never received one query. And he was saying the truth. He said this like 7 or more years ago. He has been serving for 20-something years without a concern. There are many like that. So many like that. There are those, all that the mother and father says, I'm happy with you. Just do this better. But why are you a pain to me? Not once. Not once. One of the greatest blessings you can be to the mother who labored to give you birth is to give them rest. Don't let them labor twice. Don't let your parents labor twice. They labored to birth you and they are laboring over your character. Did you hear what I just said? Like young people say, this is deep. Don't let them labor twice. In our place, they say the horse gives birth so it can relax its waist. It's carrying a lot of load. So now it has birthed many horselets, many young horses, and they are growing and they share its burden. Your parents labored to bring you forth. Don't let them labor twice over your behavior. Don't let your behavior be a labor, a source of labor, a source of concern. Tell that devil of rebellion, you can look for anybody but not me. Tell that devil of stubbornness, it is not me you are looking for. Look for somebody else. Am I communicating at all? So that you don't raise children that will make you feel what you made your parents to feel. You know, Paul the apostle persecuted the church. Even though he repented, he experienced persecution. Who was gathering the cloth of people when they were stoning Stephen? Saul of Paul the apostle. Who was the only other person that was stoned in the New Testament? Paul himself. They stoned him to death. The pain you gave Stephen, feel it. You have repented and accept your repentance, but experience some of your harvest. Don't let your children give you the trouble you are giving your parents. Rest. Be a child of rest. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody is blessed here. Who is the person that is the most blessed? And I know adults are also blessed. This camera is not doing justice to the crowd in this place here this evening. Can you wave your hands and give all the shout of praise? The shout of praise. The shout of praise. The shout of praise. The shout of praise. One day I believe that hundreds of thousands of youths shall fill this house hearing this kind of thing. And for your information, the last Sunday, the last Friday of September is a youth fire night. The last Friday, the Worship World and Wonders Night of September is dedicated to youth. We shall have one or two of this kind of bomb and then a lot of celebrations and a lot of dancing. And every adult is welcome. Was that September 25th? Friday, September 25th. Mark it down in your calendar. Tell your friends and tell your loved ones. And it's going to be a time for youth fire night. Youth fire night. Youth fire night. Youth from all over the world, you are welcome. Now lift up your hands and speak to God. Appreciate Him for His word to you tonight. Appreciate Him for His word to you tonight. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Worship Him, honor Him, adore Him. Likadi rotami galaratezo rata sata frata sata kalagavaragada hagara selade yodora hasiliyada rakoti jumanukali te finagala rotasodo tasodo mia kora talagla gadegadegla galagala hagada yara tasete frata kokoto gadegadegla hagada rata sata frata In the name of Jesus. The youth running out there, where are you going? Where are you going? Don't do that to yourself. 5 more minutes. Lift up your hands. Say after me, say, Father.
Father,
give me the grace.
Give me the grace.
To maintain vision.
To maintain vision.
And and dreams for my destiny.
For my destiny.
Never to stop.
Never to stop.
Never to allow anyone
never to
stop or kill my dreams.
Stop.
Open your mouth and pray right now. Keep your hands high. Some things happened to you and they wanted to temper with your attitude of life, and you wanted mercy from God, so that from today, no matter what you pass through in childhood from your father, your mother, it will not affect your attitude. I'd like you to step forward here while I pray for you. While we are doing that, you can come with your Bibles and your bags. I want God to change, to return me back to who I'm meant to be and who I should be. I have been very, very bitter, very unforgiving, and my life has been so turned upside down because of back of hurts, because of pain, because of failure, frustration, the things I passed through in childhood. I don't want them to affect who I am. I don't want them to affect my destiny. While they are coming, the rest of us pray and say, Father,
help me.
Never to allow. Help me.
To maintain
a positive attitude.
In all situations.
In life. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. While these others come forward. Help me to maintain a positive attitude. In all situations in life. Help me to maintain a positive attitude. In all situations in life. To maintain a positive attitude. In all situations in life. Open your mouth and speak to God. To maintain a positive attitude. In all situations in life. In all situations in life, you can be on your knees if you want and just make contact with the old type of God. Otherwise, don't be on your knees. So maintain a positive attitude in life. Positive attitude. In God, I am proceeding about it. Let me just take the faith of the Lord. Pray. So maintain a positive attitude in all situations in life. The grace to maintain this positive attitude in all situations in life. Lift your hands and say, Father,
no matter what I lose,
help me never to lose your presence
in my life.
No matter what is working.
No matter what is not working.
Help me not to be angry with you.
Help me not to be offended with you.
In the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray. Help me not to be offended with you. Irrespective of what is working or not working. Help me never to be offended with you. That I will never be offended with you.
In the name of Jesus.
Lift your voice and say, Father,
Father,
help me
to be a source of rest,
for my generation. Not a concern.
Not a burden.
Not a source of stress,
but
a child of rest
for
my generation. Open your mouth and speak to God. Help me to be a source of stress for my generation. Not a source of stress, not a source of concern, but a source of rest for my generation. To my generation. Help me, Lord. Litosa, Iparidani, Leritosa,
I pray for everyone here tonight, those who already lost dreams and visions because of hatred, because of opposition, because of human actions, I decree restoration.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Those who have lost the correct attitude because of human action, and you became somebody else who you are not meant to be because of human behavior, I decree today help from above, grace to be the person you are meant to be, the sweet you, the excitable you, the exciting you, the interesting you, the cheerful you, the loving you, the kind person you are meant to be. I decree today, be restored in the name of Jesus. Be restored in the name of Jesus. Be restored in the name of Jesus. Be restored to who you are meant to be, in the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter what your father did or your mother or what anybody did against you. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is a God in heaven who loves you and who will perfect his purpose in your life and give you an expected end. In the name of Jesus. And I don't know what you have lost. I declare that the presence of God you will never lose. Grace and grace and grace, never to lose the presence of God, be released upon you in the name of Jesus. 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 And to be a child of rest, receive that grace in Jesus' precious name. There are many of us, you are going to talk to your parents. I'm sorry if I ever give you stress. I'm sorry. I am meant to give you rest. Forgive me and pray for me. Let me, going forward, be a child of rest. Some of us will return back to God. Lord, I'm sorry for being angry with you because of what I passed through. You are not my enemy. You are not destroying my life. It's the devil that is destroying my life. Father, I come back to you and I want you to help me to love you and live for you. You are the only one working for me right now. And as I remain with you, everything must work in the name of Jesus. And some of you are going to make decisions I cannot be bitter. Devil, you can't change me. I am a sweet person. I am a nice person. I am a lovely person. I am a loving person. You can't destroy my life. You can't destroy my life. You can't destroy who I am. I am a loving person. I am going to remain a loving person. You can't destroy who I am. I am a loving person. You can't destroy who I am. In the name of Jesus. 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 I am a loving person. In the name of Jesus. You can't destroy who I am, devil. You can't destroy my nature. You can't denature me. You can't denature me. You can't destroy my nature. I am a loving person. You cannot destroy my nature. I am a loving person. You can't destroy my nature. I am a loving person. You can't destroy my nature. I am deciding today. I will return back to myself. It's not the whole world that offended me. God did not offend me. And I am not going to be destroyed because of one offense. I am a loving person. I am a lovely person. I am a spiritual person. I am a spiritual person. In the name of Jesus, you can't destroy me, Satan. You can't destroy me, Satan. You can't destroy me, Satan. You cannot destroy me. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you can't destroy me, Satan. 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 You can't destroy me. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. And that vision where God says you will do great things with your life and use you to touch your generation and touch your family and touch your community. No devil shall take that vision from you. In Jesus' name.